So hi, and welcome to episode 13.
Yay!
lucky number. This is Cindy Faye Solomon. I'm here with Malcolm Knapp.
Hello.
We're discussing the lean spec, or the lean startup product definition process.
Yes.
Where we are transparently discussing how to take a process to not only teach product managers to be more effective, but to increase the efficiency of the team working together from the get-go of the product inception in describing what that product is from various points of view.
Mm-hmm. So this is a process that I sort of work on with in the Engineer Accelerator. It's the professional training program I run for hardware engineers, and we're extending this out into sort of more general product management sort of domain, and seeing how it sort of translates from a specifically sort of its sort of basis was in hardware, and we're trying to see how it translates out into sort of the wider other domains.
Right, and I started the Startup Product Academy with the intention of training product managers in all domains, not only software. There's so much focus in training product managers in digital products, but product management exists across the board of all kinds of products.
Yeah, so what I want, we're sort of going back to sort of the curriculum, or like the concepts that are sort of involved in the lean spec process. And we talked before about the sort of ordering information hierarchically. We have the sort of at the highest level, sort of in the terms that I use at least, it's a sort of product level, then a sort of device, which is sort of a grouping of features or functionality. And that's really useful for describing sort of the characteristics of this, sort of what the functionality will do, or it sort of will, it has, I should say, what it is. But that only captures sort of one aspect of what the product, you know, what a product is as a whole. And one of the big things about the process, about the lean spec process, is trying to make sure that you capture all the aspects of what's going into a product, you know. And so this hierarchical list is really good, it's really powerful, but it's incomplete. And what we have to do then is we have to use another sort of visualization technique, or another way of describing information, and to capture another aspect of it. And that what we're going to talk about today is capturing the connections between these features. You know, how do they relate to each other? What are the flows of, well, sort of information or power or sort of signals through the system? You can't visualize that. You can't capture that in a list format. Or you can't, it's also, you can't really sort of think about it in that format. So for this thing, what I use, the sort of technique is sort of the system blocks, signals and systems, basically, to represent each feature as a block, and then you can sort of see, connect the blocks together and show how the sort of signals flow through them.
So two things. We're going to have to start going visual, because you're providing a lot of information here with your hands. And a couple of things I want to underline. That part of our struggle here is coming up with the right, not so much a taxonomy as the right way of naming these things that are general to all products. And where we run into difficulty is everyone on the team has not only a different perspective, but a different way of naming what is most important to them. Mm. Number one. Number two, this is not a linear process, although we are mapping a visual representation of what the product is. We're not necessarily showing a prototype per se, although this would lend itself to making the prototype more accurate. But we're increasing the intention is to increase the efficiency by bringing everyone together at the beginning, and throughout the process, as well as identifying what is unknown, by capturing what do we know,
yes.
and where are the gaps in what we don't know, can we find this out ahead of time? Agile tries to solve that in software by only working in small chunks and doing constant delivery. That's a little more difficult to do in hardware and certainly consumer tangible products.
Well, I would say that there is, you know, the software is definitely easier. You have more flexibility. And so there's more stuff you can test empirically, as we were talking about last time. You can just make something quick, and then you can test it, and then you have the answer, you know. But there still are aspects, and this is part of what we're working with, you know, talking about with Anka, is there's still aspects that are hard to change. And it's also that the other thing that this is all about is it's not just this is about clarifying the team's sort of conception of what the problem is. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you can go through and, you know, as you are working through the system, what the real problem is sort of reveals itself. And so you can, and making that clearer earlier on can help. Whereas if you're really in the low-level sort of weeds in the code or in the circuits and the resistors and stuff, you get lost in that stuff and you can't sort of step back and see how things relate to each other. And so, again, this is a process that's it's not designed to have, you know, wait until you have all the information available. It's you use what information you have at that moment, but you want to fully represent it. And so then it shows you what you don't know. And shows you what you can, where do you need to look into?
What I think would be really important is to perhaps identify what are the questions that we're asking.
Mm.
Because that's a really great way to represent this, the value of this.
Mm.
What's important? Because again, product managers will be thrown in and may not necessarily be process geeks.
Mm.
And we're trying to make it easier for people who don't, you know, you would assume that as a product manager, you have to be, a process geek to some extent, but you may not care about the philosophy of process or the intrinsic strategic approach of process and all those things we're touching on.
Well, so what this boils down to is some very sort of simple questions in some way. Because I actually, what I do in when I'm going into a client is I usually start with a block diagram, you know, the signals, sort of signals and systems, sort of block representation of their product, because it's something that's easy to write up on the board and it gives you a good overview about what's going on. And then, so what you can do is you can start, you know, you can say, well, what's part of the product? And then you can sort of put that as the first block in the middle of your whiteboard or whatever and say, well, what is that connected to? You know, and then you fill out, you have to get from, you know, fill out all the connections, you know. So you can sort of, you know, there's a couple ways. So that's one way to start it. You can also say, well, what is the sort of starting input do we have? Do we have, you know, weather information coming from weather underground or something like that? That's an input to the system. Well, where does it go and where does it terminate? You know, so you have to say, well, where does it go first and what has happened after that and so forth, and follow the signal through, follow the information flow through your system until you're done with it. You know, you've ended that signal for whatever reason. It's gone to a database, it's been displayed to the user, something like that. And so, you know, the thing about this is, so there's some very simple questions you can use to sort of generate this visual representation or this sort of visual capture these connections between the blocks of the system. So that's, you know, if you don't care about the sort of high-level philosophy of this sort of stuff, you can just say, what we're trying to do is get a complete representation of the system, you know, so we can reveal what we don't know, and you can do it by these pretty simple questions to the people. You don't even have to know specifically the answers yourself. You can talk to the sort of software engineer who's in front of you and sort of just ask them that question, you know, and then you can work it out. And when you understand what's going on, then you both have a complete understanding about the flow of everything through the system. And then the other thing about it is that blocks and sort of system blocks are hierarchical, or sort of you can have blocks within blocks as well. So you can view a computer as a block, or a server as a block, and then the servers are connected to each other, and you have multiple blocks in your system, going out to sort of displays, or like going, reading. Going out to other, apps or something like that, and those are blocks in the system. But then you can zoom into just that one server and say, well, that server is made up of more blocks. It's made up of the ICs that are inside it. It's made up of all the connections between those. Is the software itself that's running that server as well within, and, when you're viewing it at the high, at the sort of, at a higher level, or sort of, you don't have to worry about that stuff, but you may have to. Sometimes you do, and so it's just a very powerful way of viewing products at the sort of levels of detail that you want that make it easy to see the connections between things. And you can zoom in and zoom out as much as you want. So just like this sort of expandable list is a fractal sort of representation of a system. You can have the same sort of fractal representation conceptualization or understanding of the system in a block diagram. So,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, so, that's, so this is something else where we go through in the course. We talk about, trying to view, the systems that are around you. We talked about alarm clock last time. View that as blocks in a block diagram. Making that translation from this physical thing and trying to say, well, where are the edges? What is one block and what is another, and so forth.
And so we're also visualizing, even if it's an intangible, we're creating a visualization of not necessarily what the product looks like, but how the information flows. Mm-hmm. Or the different features, behaviors, aspects, data, all of the necessary components.
Yeah, so, this could also be a website, like there's a flow of the user through the site. There's connections between the different pages of the website. And even though that's not a physical thing, it's still something that's, very useful
that's
to represent.
That's easy to mock up.
But it's also very
Although when you see mock-ups of websites, you might see where the user interacts, but you don't necessarily see how the data is being passed from, the server to the front end to.
Well, but that's exactly the sort of thing is that there are points. There's a flow of the user through the system, but there's also the flow of information in and out of the system as well, in and out of the product.
Right.
And capturing both of those things, they again interact with each other, and seeing, we're going to need to make, this page will have lots of connections to the server, so we have to make sure that works well. And just can help show you where the sort of bottlenecks could be and things of that sort.
And it's very frustrating. I've been on product development projects where they understood what they wanted the customer experience to be, the end user. They understood even what they wanted the pages to look like. They didn't really think through how the back end and how it was going to interact with legacy systems.
This is great stuff,
and that's where the breakdown was.
Yeah, exactly, and so
that happens. Certainly when things aren't timed right, when it's a great idea, but it all seems, it seems great. It's worth investing in, but they haven't figured out how it's going to actually happen. They just almost pray or assume, or it's on faith. They're going to find the right developers and the geniuses to make it happen.
Well, I also think that there is this thing about, we can code anything in software.
Right.
And that's true to some extent, but you especially when you're dealing with legacy systems and things of that sort, and you have other, when you're making technology on top of other technology, that has severe constraints about what you can do. And so I think that that's something that, you know, this is part of where, you know, that's part of the thing to reveal as early as possible. I mean, you know, this is a classic sort of thing, as they're talking about. They were looking at the sort of one part of the product, but they weren't looking at the whole product.
Yes.
And by going through this block diagram sort of, or sort of representation, or sort of this sort of part of this sort of this way of thinking about a, you know, let's trace the flows through the system, it then you sort of have to include that. It sort of forces, because you have this thing. They click on the, you know, here's where they, you know, the sort of checkout page of your website is. They click the link. Well, that data has to go somewhere, you know, and so you then are forced to acknowledge this, the back end, and you're forced to say, well, what are we going to do there? Like, right now, like, let's figure it out, you know.
And I think this actually lends itself to all kinds of systems.
Mm.
Certainly, you know, we live and breathe products, but I'm thinking of governmental processes.
Yeah, I mean, well, the signals and sort of block diagrams and signals and systems is been around for ages. I mean,
business
it's been,
processes,
you know, and so this representation, this way of thinking about what's happening, is really powerful. It's very, very powerful and so I think we should use that power. You know, I think many times this way of representing and thinking about a product is sort of not, you know, it's not thought about at the highest levels a lot of times. I mean, again, it's thought about you, I think people try and do this, and I think that there's a lot of times
it's done,
but I think that it's...
not to this scale.
Yeah.
And not with this discipline.
Yeah, and it's also just sort of, it's very useful for the, you know, for even someone who's running a business to be able to think
exactly.
in this way.
That's what I was thinking. We should be teaching this to entrepreneurs in foundation, because it's a way of thinking,
yeah,
really.
It's a way of thinking.
It's a disciplined approach to thinking about implications.
Yeah, and so it's that, or, you know, it's, you know, this works both for software and hardware and mechanical and all sort of stuff like that. And then I can also think, you know, it's interesting for designers to think in this way as well. I mean, they're dealing with slightly different issues, but, you know, the user experiences is a sequence of, it's a flow of information through a system, and a lot of times, and, you know, and so you can also view that in a block, you know, as blocks, you know.
In terms of teaching this, we're not just teaching a specific deliverable, because we don't want someone to go in, and I don't think you could do this in a existing organization and say, drop how you're doing it, this is how we're going to do it. No, this is, people are already doing everything they need to do. This is just a way of bringing it all together so there's more transparency across organizations, and there's more collaboration across silos.
Yeah, so the thing is that it's also that this is can be, you know, as, like I said, it can be as high level as you want it to be. A circuit, you know, schematic is basically a block diagram, with the symbols are more interesting sometimes, but it's basically a block diagram, but it's the lowest level. And so what you can then do is, if we're talking about working at the highest level, in the sort of informational hierarchy, you can still make block diagrams. And I think that, and again, we talked about this before, about being able to do sort of system-level refactoring. And it's also figuring out what the shape of the problem you have is, you know, figuring out how things actually connect. I mean, there are many, many times when I've been going through this and I talk to a client and I said, oh, this makes perfect sense. But when I actually am forced to draw a line between two blocks, it really reveals that this is more complicated than I thought, you know. You know, so
I think it would be appropriate to start at the hardware engineering, electronics engineering presentation in teaching this. Here's the foundation. This is what this came out of. And any product manager, it would add to their toolbox to understand that point of view, number one. Number two, with the Internet of Things, there's software being embedded into hardware in every aspect.
Yeah, Internet of Things is a really great way of, it combines everything. It's hardware and embedded systems and software and web stuff and all this sort of stuff like that.
So
a block diagram representation of this really complex system, you can break it down, sort of represent it in much simpler terms. And then if you need to get down to the lower level detail, you can. But it just, that would be really powerful, you know. So, I mean, the thing for me is that we can also do the same sort of example, is that we talked about, an alarm clock, and you break it down, and then you talk about what features are there. And then you say, well, how are the features connected? Let's see if we can figure it out. Like, what are the buttons connected to, and how they get to the, and we can, you have to sort of, you can make some educated guesses about how they actually did it. Or we can go in and we can actually, going through those sort of same examples, you start with the breaking down of a, alarm clock or something else, and then you say, let's look at another representation, another aspect of the same product.
Right. Or bring in a product you're working on.
Yeah.
I mean, and your homework is to break down the product, because if anything, it will immediately reveal what the product manager, what the individual doesn't know about aspects of that product.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the thing, is if people are coming in with their own products, even better. Because then these are real live things, and they really need to understand all the aspects about what's happening, So, so that's even better if people are coming in. I mean, I know you do the product therapy stuff, so people could come in.
Product therapy, is part of what will be a product accelerator.
Yeah, so, what you can then do is people can come in and we can go through this process with their live product and actually sort of see, where they need to go, what more they need to know.
So this becomes a key aspect in a product manager's toolbox.
Yeah, well, just like the same thing about organizing the feature list, the functionality list, is the same thing. It's just it's a tool, it's a process, and it helps reveal these things and then leads to sort of facilitation moments.
But we're almost teaching them to be to ask the right questions, be an analyst, a product analyst.
Well, but that's the thing, is that I find myself interviewing my clients in the same way. So I don't know everything. I don't know what their business is. And I have a set of questions I ask. I'm always trying to figure out what they're trying to do, because that is, once I know what they're trying to do, then I can produce what they want.
Right. Have you ever walked into a situation where they presented you, where there was a product manager or there was someone who had a vision, and they presented you with, here's a vision we want you to build?
Not as much. I mean, that's the thing for me, is that I always go through this. I go through the product definition process when I was doing it with that. I go through this process with them at the beginning. Most of my clients, this is what I'm doing. So I make sure that I understand what this, what they're trying to do. And so, even if someone presents me, here's what I'm trying to make, or here's what you should make. Well, that doesn't mean I understand it, or what that means. And so, you have to go through some sort of synchronization, where you take in that information and then repeat it back to them in some way and say, here's what I think you meant. Is that correct? And then they can say yes or no, But it also means that, you're not saying it's wrong. You're just saying...
You're asking for clarification.
You're saying this is a clarification. I'm asking, here's what I understood. Is it correct? And then they can say, well, no. And then you get a moment to go around the loop again, And then there's more information that usually comes up at that moment about what's not right. Or then they should say, well, then you can also say, well, I didn't understand these parts of your, vision. Can you explain them more? And then, it's being, I guess this is sort of another skill to think about.
Yes.
Being very, very conscious about when you don't know something.
Right.
There's a very natural tendency for people to want to either to get an answer to something and to not be in a state of unknowingness, you know.
And there's all different methods of questioning in order to open up an idea. There's five whys.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bunch of, you know, there's all these tools around here, but the key thing for me is the reason why I'm doing this, you know, this sort of block diagram sort of representation, is that it is a really powerful, it captures another aspect of what a product is, what
right.
it does. And you have to have the things that it is, and then you have to have the other thing you have to talk about is how they're all connected to each other. And then we'll get to this in the near future, is then you have to say, well, what does it do? Like, how does it behave? Is the next aspect. And with those three together, plus some other little odds and ends, you starting to get a much more complete picture about what's going on. You know, how complex, because sometimes something can be really super simple to describe physically, like here's what it is, but the behavior of it is really complex. I mean, this is actually a really good example. USB is really simple. It's four wires, you know, power, ground, and a plus and a minus, you know, two signals. Super simple, all the cables are simple, but the complexity of the protocol in software is immense. So just by describing the physical representation or how the things are connected together hides most of the complexity, hides most of the hard, what would be hard to actually implement it. And so only by looking at all the different aspects do you actually get a full picture about what's going on. So we talked about the list, we talked about this block diagram. This is another aspect that I think is very, very important and very powerful to sort of enumerate when you're going through this process.
Right, and also I want to make a distinction that the list, the block diagram, might the communication vehicles,
yeah.
they may be quote-unquote deliverables,
mm-hmm.
but how to arrive at that is, I think it's key to mm-hmm. asking the right questions
mm-hmm.
and reflecting back what the understanding is.
Yeah, so, you know, I can say I do talk about these things in terms of something you could physically make, like, you know, a deliverable. But there is the process of this is, you know, you're going through this and that's the sort of where the work is done, you know. And so, you know, it may end up drawn on a, you know, whiteboard or something like that, but the work is done before that happens, within the team, within where everybody's trying to figure out together what's going on. So, yeah. So, you know, this is just another one of the things we'll get into in the course.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you have a engineering accelerator starting up?
Yeah. So this is good. I actually have a new session starting up in March. March 1st actually is the next one, and then there'll be another one in April and another one in May. Each one's 4 weeks long. You can check out all the information on engineeraccelerator.com.
Excellent. And yeah. If people have questions?
Yeah, if people have questions, then they can email me at malcolm@engineeraccelerator.com. Or they can contact me on Facebook at the Engineer Accelerator.
And it takes place at the Port Workspaces in Oakland at 344 20th Street, downtown Oakland.
Yes. The Port has been very kind, and they have it's been a great place to work in. So we'll be doing the lab portion here. There's going to be a online session on Wednesday nights, and then the lab session will be here at the Port on Saturdays.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So for people working full time.
Specifically designed so people who have a full time job can attend the course.
Excellent. And after attending 4 weeks, what did people learn? What will they get?
They will be able to get. They'll be exposed to the professional skills you need to know to work as a hardware engineer. You go into what people are starting out in their careers. There's a whole bunch of stuff they have to learn. This is an accelerated, highly concentrated sort of course that exposes you to all those issues you will encounter in your job and allow you to sort of get up to speed in that job much quicker than you would otherwise.
Excellent. It's onboarding.
Onboarding, yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Malcolm.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you to the Port Workspaces and the Port Studio, where we are recording from weekly. And join us again next week, where we hope to have another guest who will give us another perspective in helping us develop this and bring this to the public beyond hardware engineers.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you, and you can listen to other episodes on blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. This is Cindy F. Solomon, and you can go to startupproduct.com to get more information. Have a great week.